Hey guys, this is James. Just going to do a little recording for you this afternoon. It's Wednesday, April 22nd in the afternoon. I was going to just do a little Bible study and put on our site, just trying to stay connected with you guys. I know Brother Sid's been pumping out some really good stuff, even started putting some of it on YouTube where we can see him. And feel like we're kind of in the room with them a little bit, so that's great. I hope you guys have been plugging into that and feeding from that as he's been doing that. We've been able to do a little bit of worship. We'll try to do some more of that as well. Just trying to stay connected with you guys the best we can, and just put our heart out there, and hopefully we can continue to get through this thing. Miss you guys. Miss everyone. I can't wait to get back in the house with the body. But in the meantime, we're going to continue doing what we've been doing with podcasts and Facebook Lives and things like that, just like I think everybody in the country seems to be unfortunately having to do right now. So you guys hang in there. We love all of you. We're praying for you guys, praying for everybody that's going through this, which is pretty much all of us. But I know it's impacting us each a little bit differently, so some more difficult than others, and so we're just praying for everybody and their individual situations that they're walking through. And so with that being said, this is kind of be like your Wednesday night-ish Bible study. Just God spoke something to me. I'm just going to kind of throw it out there the way I've heard it. If I speak more on this later, we may develop some more in this if I do another one of these before we get back together. But I just want to kind of do this tonight and kind of get your mind thinking about what God is going to be doing through some of what's going on, or just, you know, really any time in your life that seem to be changing, things seem to be moving in different directions, and you're just a little uncertainties in the air, and that's what we seem to have right now. A little uncertainty, not uncertainty that God's God, not uncertainty that we're not in His hands, not uncertainty that He's not in control. We know all of those things. Those things are always certain. Those things are always known. It's uncertainty of what tomorrow looks like, and that's okay to be uncertain about that. We don't know what it looks like, but you know the old saying: we know who holds our hand. We know that we're in His grasps, and He's going to take care of us. So this makes me think of, and you'll see where I'm going, in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1. This is Solomon's general observation, is the header in my NIV Bible that I have open in front of me. And everybody knows it. Songs have been written about it. But it's very true. It's things to ponder on. And it says, starting in verse 1 of chapter 3, there is a time for everything and a season for every activity under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to uproot, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to tear down and a time to build, a time to weep, a time to laugh, to mourn, to dance, scatter stones, to gather stones, a time to embrace and a time to refrain. That's interesting. A time to search and a time to give up, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear and a time to mend, a time to be silent and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, and a time for war and a time for peace. So understanding that and this God-given wisdom that Solomon had is basically there. You know, there's a time for different things in our life, and right now we have to ask ourselves, what is this time that we're entering in right now, this time that we're experiencing, this, you know, the term unprecedented, you know, keeps getting thrown out there. And it really is unlike anything we've ever experienced, with being separated for so much stuff. That time to embrace and a time to refrain seems to be where we're at right now. It's this time to refrain from embracing one another, a time to refrain from embracing society, really, and be in this, you know, this quarantine, if you will, where we're just not together. So it should be a time of reflection, and I think a lot of people understand that, and a lot of people are doing that. and that's good. And that's kind of what God is showing me. It has been showing me, you know, since really last week when I saw this visual that I want to throw out there to you guys. Think about spring cleaning. This is kind of where I'm going. Let's think about spring cleaning. We just cleaned out a closet, and we kind of redid a closet we had here with some extra time, trying to keep ourselves busy. And you think about cleaning out a pantry or something like that. You go through this. When you do this, you go through and you find all these clothes. They don't fit anymore. They're out of style. You don't like them. You know, for whatever reason, and you throw them out. Or you get rid of them, or donate them, or sell them, or whatever it is. You go through your pantry and you've got food that when you bought it was good food, but maybe you didn't need it, or you forgot you had it and it's expired. Or you bought something and you're just like, you know, we really don't like that particular type of whatever, and let's just give it to somebody else. They may eat it, or for whatever reason, you flush out this pantry and you get these items that are gone. These are items that once served a purpose, but they no longer have a need for you in your life, so they need to go. One thing that we need to do when we do that, when we go through, thankfully in America, most of us, when we go through our closet and we get rid of, you know, oh, I've got all these shirts that I don't wear anymore, we don't worry that when I get rid of this shirt that if I want another shirt, I won't be able to go get another, you know, t-shirt or something like that to wear to replace it. So we're always, we trust that we can do that, and we can always provide for ourselves in this physical way, or that maybe even take it to the next level, that God will provide for you that the clothing that you need. Or when you throw out those, you know, stale taco shells that you didn't realize you had, and oh, these are no good anymore, I got to throw them away. You hate that, but you don't keep them because you nowhere in your mind thinks, well, I better keep these in case I don't have anything to eat again. You may think that more than what you have before with where everything's going on, but generally, you're pretty confident that, oh, that stinks, I hate to waste, but, you know, I can always go get some more. Sometimes in the spiritual world, we hang on to things too long because we're afraid that God won't replace those with a better thing. We're afraid that God won't give us that next thing that we need, so we've got to continue to hang on to this thing. We seem to trust God more with taco shells than we do with our hearts and with our spiritual things. That's kind of where I'm going a little bit with what does God, you know, what is God doing in us, and what is He wanting us possibly to get rid of. The thing that really sparked this thought was a visual that I had in our backyard last year. It's probably been a good year ago. Storm came through, you know, as they always do. Storm came through and it broke a tree limb, pretty good section of a tree, but it was still a limb portion, but it was really large for this particular tree. Dropped it and broke it off of a tree in our backyard, but it didn't fall all the way down. It got hung up in all the trees that were around it. So it was kind of precariously laying in this tree, but it was really solid in there. It wasn't like you could just go up there and push it out. You know, it was just hung in the limbs of the trees around it. But it was still attached down at the bottom. So, you know, it didn't break completely. It kind of ripped out, but then there were still some of the tree fibers and everything were still attached. So it was just, you know, kind of, it was broken. It was gone. It was not going to be repaired. It's not like you were going to be able to, repair it in any way. It was going to eventually not be part of the tree anymore. But it was really hard to get out of the way. It was just sitting there. And I'll say it this way. It was broken, but it was still receiving nutrients from the main tree. Because this year, It sprouted green leaves. After the winter, green leaves were coming out of the actual broken part of the limb. So there was still enough of it attached, if you can imagine that. I actually even kicked around trying to do like a Facebook video of me showing you this tree, but I didn't think it would work that great. That's the other Siegel brother that does video stuff. So we're just doing it this way. So just imagine with me this limb that's broken, but still a little bit connected to this tree. And God asked me in that, and because I really, he just pointed that out, and he asked me, so what is in your life that is broken, that needs to be gone, but still is attached enough to steal your energy and your focus? And that's really what jumped out at me, because we have these things that maybe are needing to be removed from our lives, maybe that need to be gone, but they're not completely gone. They're still hanging around. You know, they're still hanging around. They're still distracting us. They're still draining our nutrients. You see, that tree could be using the nutrients that it's sending to this broken off part of it to make itself stronger, but it's being stolen by something that's no longer needed. It's being stolen by something that's no longer useful, that's no longer part of the future of this tree. Under no circumstances, this limb that's broken off laying up in this tree going to be part of that tree again. It's inevitably going to be gone. So that's the question that God was asking me. He was asking me, what do I need to move on from? And I think he's asking all of us. That's why I feel like that's, you know, really the question I needed to come in tonight and ask you guys. What is something that God has exposed to you that needs to go? It's something that's broken, and maybe a storm, maybe something traumatic, if you will, not traumatic, but something changed and something altered that moved that from being part of your life to it's no longer part of your life. It went from being that your favorite sweater in your closet that you always wore to 5 years down the road, you know, I have not worn that sweater in a couple of years. It's really not part of me anymore. It's really not my style anymore. Really, usually in my case, I really can't fit into that anymore. It's a little snug. But what is it? And I'm not talking about clothes. You can talk about this in the physical. You could say in the physical, people, jobs, debt, activities, these things in our life that maybe are still in our life that God's saying, you know, it's time to move on from them. Not that those things are bad. Not that those things did not serve a purpose at one time in your life. That limb served a purpose at one point. At one point, it was a very strong part of that tree. It was a part of the tree that was moving upward and creating life, and birds were living in it, and squirrels were crawling up and down it, and that whole thing that trees do is it was giving off oxygen for me to breathe. It was very important. But at some point, something happened, and it's no longer part of my future. It was part of my past, but not part of my future, but it's like it was hanging on. And it was hanging on just enough to drain from the part that was continuing to give life. A lot of times our mental side of ourself hangs on to things. A lot of times we don't have this self-value that we're supposed to have. We don't value who God has called us to be, and we hang on to this old sense of values. And God's got a new sense of values. He's called us chosen, beloved. He's called us worthy. He's called us his children. He's called us the bride of Christ. He's called us all these things, but we don't accept those, and we're hanging on to that old view of ourselves, that old value, old ways of thinking, positive versus negative. Is everything that you view, is it in a negative context, or are you trying to be in that positive context? Did the old man look at things in a negative way, and you have a hard time letting go of that? Is that tree limb that is still hung, that's still hanging on to you, that just won't let go? It's just still draining you. But God's saying, I don't want you to think about things like that anymore. I want you to move forward. I want you to have this forward thinking, this positive thinking in your mentality. You can also look at it in the spiritual. Absolutely. And that's what the gist of this is. Maybe religion was holding you back. Maybe what you feel like religion was telling you had to do in your life. I have to do it this way because that's how it's done, and that's how the church does it, or this is how so-and-so does it. But is it how God wants you to do it? Is it how God wants you to move forward? Or is it keeping me from walking in those new places with God? Those fresh places with us, God. Those places of revelation with God. Those places of deeper communion and deeper meaning with God. Is my old spirit man trying to hold me back. And you know what? At one point, these things that you did weren't religious. They were new zeal, but they became religion to you, and you lost your focus. And they're no longer needed. That's no longer needed. God's saying, that was good. That got you to this place. But I want you to put that aside, and I want you to move forward. Now, in saying that, this doesn't apply to everything. There's things that we will always build on. Peace, faith, trust, forgiveness, those things. They're never going to be that old sweater that you get rid of. They're never going to be. The things of God and the truths in the Word of God are never going to be like, oh, okay, well, you know, that whole Ten Commandments thing, that's old and antiquated. No. I mean, that's the foundation of who we are. That's our moral compass. So those things don't go away. I'm talking about the marginal things that we let become big things in our lives. These things that shouldn't be big things, we make big things in our lives. I'm talking about that branch that's saying, I'm not talking about the core of this tree. I'm not talking about what makes the tree the tree. I'm talking about a branch off the tree. I'm talking about the little things off the tree that maybe at this point in your life are important. I'm talking about that friend that you need at this point in your life, but maybe they have a different destiny than you do, and it's not that you don't love them and you're not friends anymore, but you're going one direction and they're going another. That's what I'm talking about. You continue to move forward with God in your path, not try to find somebody else's path. So, all right. So, next comes basically a year of ignoring. We're talking about this limb. So, I had this limb. It needed to be dealt with, but I really didn't do anything with it. I just kind of left it in the tree because it was going to take a lot of work to get it down. It was going to take a lot of work to get in there and cut the limbs off and get something attached to it and pull it out and make sure it didn't fall on other things. And it was in the way, it was kind of where I would see it when I pulled up every day, but it was, you know, it was, I learned to ignore it. I learned to not pay attention to the fact that it was broken. I learned to not pay attention or give it any value at all that this was broken. It was just, okay, well, that's just how it is now. That limb is just broken. That's just how it is. And I think we do that a lot of times with things that God wants us to deal with. We begin to ignore them. We begin to accept them. And God's like, I don't want you to accept this. I want you to deal with this. I want you to deal with it. But so many times we accept those things. We let those things just become a part of our yard, become part of who we are. The fact that I have this broken relationship, the fact that I have this broken situation that I'm in, the fact that I have this broken way of looking at myself, this fact that I have this, you know, this broken spiritual life that sometimes I'm just on fire for God so much, and then sometimes I forget to even talk to God. It's just how I am, and God's like, I don't want you to leave it that way. I want you to deal with it. But so many times we feel like it's more than we can do alone. There are some things that we cannot do alone. Well, matter of fact, there's nothing that we can do alone. But there's some things that we can take lead on and we can take initiative on. Yes, we've got to have God to deal with anything in a serious way, no matter what. But sometimes we're waiting, you know, on somebody else to help us or whatever. And God's like, no, I want you to go out there and do this. Sometimes we need to get something out of our life, but we need the help or the direction. We know it's time to go, but we don't know how to do it. So, in my story about my limb, the other day, probably a week ago now, maybe 2 weeks ago now, we've had several storms now. The first storm we've had since this, you know, kind of quarantine thing that was a really significant wind situation, rain and everything. Well, it knocks this limb all the way to the ground. It knocks it all the way out, completely disconnects it from the tree, and it knocks it all the way out. And so now it's on the ground. I feel like God right now is telling us we need to use this time to take inventory of our yard or our life or what's going on with what's happening in our life. And also, as you look, you know, you look in your yard and you say, okay, you know, this needs to be removed. You need to examine those things that you have accepted. Those things that you have accepted that need to go, but you've accepted, like we said before, how I just, you know, accepted that that limb was that way. It was not going to stay that way. Inevitably, something had to happen, and another storm comes, another transition in life comes, and it just makes it where I have to deal with it now. It's on the ground. It's in the way. At this point, I can't cut grass around it. It must be dealt with now. So I'm more on its time than my time. And sometimes that's what God will do. God will come in and help us in those situations where it seems too big for us. I think it's important that we cry out to God and say, God, I recognize this. I recognize this thing that's broken in my life. I recognize this thing that needs to be removed. I recognize whatever the circumstances. God wants us to see it first. He wants us to recognize it. He wants us to name that thing that we need to be gone. And from that point, if we can't do it ourselves, if we just don't have the willpower to make that initiative, then there are times that God's going to come in and God's going to knock that limb on out. He's going to go ahead and say, listen, all right, I love you too much to let you continue in this way. He may knock that thing out with use a storm or use a circumstance to go ahead and make you have to deal with it. Now, it's not gone. He didn't pick that limb up and take it away. I still have to deal with it. God still wants us to have skin in the game. God still wants us to make that decision. God does not want us to be robots. He wants us to choose Him, to choose His way, to choose His vision for our life. He still wants it, but sometimes He'll, like in this circumstance, put that limb right in my way where I've got to deal with it because He loves us too much to allow us to continue to ignore it. What in your life is God just got a light bulb over and it's just shining that spotlight and saying, listen, I want you to deal with this. Listen, you don't need this anymore. Listen, you've moved on from this. Listen, this is not helping you anymore. This is draining something from you. Begin to ask God, you know, in looking in Ecclesiastes, what time am I in? There's a time for this and a time for that. Is there still time for this in my life or is it moved on? Is this time gone in my life? Do I need to move on from whatever circumstance that you're looking at? God also, a lot of times, he does work in stages. Yes, He has the ability to come in and overnight, instantly change things overnight, to take you from, you know, from this place to that place. But a lot of times, God does things in stages. He takes this in a progression. It's these small steps. God is about process. He's about taking that next step. Yes, He wants us to ultimately get to the destination. Yes, He wants us to get to that wonderful place. But He also wants us to enjoy, understand, see, feel every step that we take. I know I was talking to Sid the other day, and I know Cammie and I talk about it a lot when we hike. I'm not a super fast hiker. I'm not a speed hiker. I don't make any of that. I have not hiked these amazing lengths anywhere. But when I hike and I'm on a trail, I like to see everything around me. I like to enjoy what I'm seeing. I like to enjoy the view of the mountains as you're going through this trail. Yes, I have to look down. Yes, you have to make sure your feet are planted in a good spot. But never neglect the journey. Never neglect seeing things from different points of view. Yes, I want to get to that summit, and I want to see that beautiful sunset or that beautiful sunrise, or I want to see that amazing, you know, rock formation or whatever it is you're hiking to, that beautiful waterfall, whatever it is. And yes, you want to get there. And yes, God ultimately wants you to get to that destination. He ultimately wants us to be in communion with Him 24/7 in heaven. Yes, eventually that's going to happen. But He does not want us to miss the small steps, the small journeys, the little things that get us there. He does not want us to overlook that. He doesn't just want us to put our head down and ignore everything until we get there. He wants us to take these small steps, and He wants us to clean those limbs out and to move those things in our life and to take that next step. And He wants us to yes, at this point in your life, this was a meaningful thing, but now at this point, you need to move on to the next thing and the next thing. Not that that thing was not important, but it's time for that next step that He wants us to do. God is there for the long haul. He's there. He's there for the long haul. In the hiking world, you have day hikers and you have through hikers. Day hikers are me. I'm going to pull up. I'm going to get a small pack out that's got just a little bit of stuff in it, some water, some snacks, and me and my family, we're going to hike and we're going to see stuff. But then at the end of the day, we're going to go back and get in our car, and we're going to go back to wherever we came from and eat dinner and sleep in our own beds. We're day hikers. We're not in it for the long haul. We're not in it to get to this massive. We're just in it for that short enjoyment. God's not the day hiker in your life. He's not in it for just that short enjoyment. He's the through hiker. They call people that are going through an area. They're going from one big destination to another big destination. If you're hiking on the Appalachian Trail, you're going from Georgia to Maine. If you're doing that, you're a through hiker. And a through hiker hikes differently. They carry different things. They have a different mentality and a different focus. God is in this thing as a through hiker. He's in it with us no matter what. He's in it with every valley, with every mountaintop, with every snowy morning, with every rainy night. He's there through everything, every beautiful sunrise and sunset that we may experience. He is there. So we need just to trust in Him as our guide through this thing. And when He drops that limb out and says, listen, you don't need this anymore, we just need to listen to Him and follow His instruction. Learn to hear His voice and begin to do that. I wrote this down. This is regarding certain things, but not all things. And understand what I mean in that. Just because you needed it yesterday does not mean you need it today. And just because you need it today does not mean you will need it tomorrow. These things that we get attached to in our lives, examples of, I'm so attached to. Maybe it's a house or a job or this way of life. This is how we do things, or this is what my schedule looked like. Think about the whole COVID experience right now. And our schedules were so much how we did things. Our schedules were what we needed. We have to have our schedule. We have to be able to get to school here. We have to be able to get to work here. And we have this ball practice here. And we have this thing here for the kids. And we have all this stuff. And this is what we have to have to make life work. And in an instant, those things are gone and they're no longer needed. It does not matter right now, today, on April 22nd, 2020, it does not matter if I could stand at home plate and at SunTrust or Truance, whatever they've called it now, field, and hit home run after home run after home run. It does not matter. Right now, it's irrelevant. If I could do that right now, if I could do that in another time, they would be paying me a Major League Baseball contract, but I could go do it today, and it means nothing. It means nothing. So just because something's important today doesn't mean it's going to be that important tomorrow, these marginal things that we are so easily entangled in. And, we think, oh, our schedule's not marginal. That's important. That's our life. Does it revolve around what God wants? It's not necessarily against God, but is it as important today as it was yesterday? And I think that's the beautiful thing about this that we need to all draw from this whole experience is it's opportunity, absolute opportunity to say, what drives me? What drives me? What am I about? What am I really about? And yes, we can be sad about stuff. And yes, we can be disappointed. And yes, we can enjoy baseball. And yes, we can enjoy the activities that we do. And that's fine. I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with that, because there's certainly not. God allows us to do those things. But is that who I am? Is that who I am? It shouldn't be who you are. Your schedule shouldn't be who you are. Your schedule should reflect who you are. So, the thing I wanted to tie into this, and I feel like God kind of showed me as I was trying to wrap this up, I was like, God, where is a place that is a good example of this in the Word? And He took me to several different places in the Old Testament, Joshua. Just a lot of different places I kind of thought of. But God really showed me, and I feel like, the tomb of Jesus. If you read in Matthew chapter 27, it kind of starts in verse 57. It says, as evening approached, there came a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph, who himself alone became a disciple of Jesus. Going to Pilate, he asked for Jesus' body, and Pilate ordered that it be given to him. Joseph took the body and wrapped it in clean linen cloth and placed it in his own new tomb that he had cut out of the rock. He rolled a big stone and from the entrance to the tomb and went away. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary were sitting there opposite the tomb. The next day, the one after preparation day, the chief priests and the Pharisees went to Pilate and said, "Sir, we remember that while he was still alive, the deceiver," referring to Jesus as the deceiver, after three days, "I will rise again. So give the order that the tomb be made secure and sealed." So they seal the tomb. I'll kind of paraphrase this. They seal the tomb and everything, obviously. And then we know what happens in Matthew chapter 28 as the stone is rolled away. It says, let's just read that. It's too good. This is too good to skip. "After the Sabbath, at dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake. There was a storm. There was something that shook. There was something that moved. There was something that changed the atmosphere. There was fill in the blank. The storm that knocks your limb out, the pandemic that took away, you know, your focus on your job or your focus on this or that. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and going to the tomb rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. And the angel said to the women, 'Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay, and then go quickly and tell the disciples. He is risen from the dead, and he is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you.'" So think about Jesus' tomb and how it had an absolute purpose. It was very integral in the story of Jesus' death and resurrection. It was kind of where it all happened. It was kind of where his body laid. It was the focus. It was the focus for 3 days. It was the focus of our faith for 3 days. But think about what that tomb means now. That tomb represents something, represents that he's not there, represents his defeat of death, hell, and the grave. But the tomb itself is no longer useful. It no longer has a purpose. The tomb had purpose, but it wasn't permanent. Just because something has purpose in your life right now, just because something had purpose in your life 5 years ago, just because something has purpose for a certain time period, does not mean that it's permanent. And I think that's the thing that God wants us to do. And he wants us to go in and clean out some of these areas in our life that have been cluttered, that we've allowed to clutter up with these dead limbs that we don't want to deal with, and these issues that we don't want to deal with, and these things that mentally bog us down and spiritually bog us down that we just don't want to deal with. Maybe for you, it's you're upset at a brother or sister in Christ, our physical brother and sister, but I'm thinking in the church body, are you up, somebody's hurt you or whatever, you know, in this time apart, you realize that you love them and that you miss them and that what you were upset about is so marginal, that what was driving you away from that person was not as great as what drives you to that person. And then that's the same bond that you have with under Christ and in the body. And I'm not talking just within Victory Fellowship. I'm talking about our brothers and sisters across the globe. What is it that draws us together? Is what draws us apart greater or less than what draws us together? And if Christ draws us together, then there's nothing greater than that could draw us apart. The disciples knew it was needed, but they had to move forward. They knew and realized that the importance of the tomb, but they didn't set up shop in the tomb. They didn't start the church out of the tomb. And they didn't set up their offices in the tomb. They didn't wait for Jesus in the tomb because that's the last place they saw his body. That's the last place that they know he was physically at. They did not go there. They understood that, yes, it was important. Yes, it was significant. But that's not how that God wants us to move forward. I think that I think we all need resurrection of some sort with our souls and our lives, with our purpose. This is, to me, it's almost a resurrection of our purpose going through this. I hope you're taking the time, and I need to do it even more than I have, is sit back and reflect and let God speak to us in this time. Yes, the tomb was needed, but it is time to move on. Now that God has revealed whatever it is in your life, and I want you to pray about this when this is over. I want you to really sincerely and genuinely pray, God, what are the limbs in my life that I need to go? What do I need to, now that it, and now I look out and I can see this limb in my yard laying there, and it's time for me to get my chainsaw out. It's time for me to cut that thing up and throw it in the fire or do away with it. And what in your life do you need to do that with? What in my life do I need to do that with? So that was really the focus of what I wanted to speak to tonight. It was really what I felt like God was showing me through the tree limb. If this message tonight has a title, it would be like a Friends episode, the one about the tree limb. You know, you can say that. It's the one about the tree limb. And that's what God was showing me. One thing to not forget is the flip side of this. Don't be so overwhelmed with, and God showed me this as I was just kind of wrapping up what I feel like He wanted to tell me, but don't be overly focused on the things that you need to get rid of. Yes, focus on them. Yes. And I say all this, we've gone through this whole thing, do this, do this, do this, and yes, do this. But there's a flip side to it. Don't forget about the things that need to be added to your life. And I can look in my yard, continue to use my yard as an example. The things that need to be added is, you know, hey, we've got a few flower beds that need some pine straw, you know, some fresh pine straw. Cammy and I have talked a million times about, let's add a nice fire pit back here so we could sit around it. I need to pressure wash the house, you know, still got pollen on it. There's things that need to be done. There's things that need to be added. There's things that God wants to add to your life. And if we continue to hoard those things that don't need to be in our life, there's not room for Him to come in and do things that need to be in His life. Where that limb fell is right in the middle of where Cammy and I want to do a fireplace. We want to do an outside fire pit, you know, where you can sit around it and everything and just go out and enjoy the evening. That limb fell right where we were wanting to do that, right in the same area, right next to it. You just couldn't do it with it sitting there. So am I going to let that limb laying there keep me from bringing in this new thing? Am I going to let this old rotten relationship I've got that's holding me back and keeping me in a place I don't need to be, we're going to let that keep us from walking a new relationship? So what needs to go and what needs to be added? What's missing in your life? And I hope it's more than stuff and physical things. I'm not talking about fireplaces, and I'm not talking about, you know, necessarily all this physical stuff. In the spiritual world, with your spiritual eyes, what is God showing you that you need to get rid of? And that you need to add. How is your peace? How is your faith? How is your trust? How is your forgiveness? How are those things going? So, just examine that as God leads you. Again, it's an honor to get to have the opportunity to speak to you guys and to share what God's put on my heart. I hope it's touched someone. I hope it makes you examine the things that God's wanting to do with your life, because each and every one of you, there's not one person hearing this. There's not one person that doesn't hear this, that this doesn't apply to. God wants to do something in your life, and God wants to move and move you forward and take you to the next level. God continually wants to draw us closer and draw us deeper. So I'm just going to pray you guys out, pray for this night and whenever you're listening to this, and just be blessed. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much, God. We thank you so much for your word and how you teach us about seasons in life and how you teach about there's a time for this and a time for that, and that it's okay to put one thing away to move to the next thing, God. We just love you so much, and be with us, God. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.